Here, this group has very few of them have scriptures, even portions of scriptures in their languages, 34 different languages in that one people group. One of the burdens that God has given to me is for the unreached peoples of our world. And what can we do to reach them? How can we do more to get more people to go to these areas where there's no one proclaiming the gospel? So I'd like to invite you to just pray with me this morning and ask God to send people to this part of the world. Father, which art in heaven, today we come to you on behalf of the Miao people of China. And God, our hearts are burdened because they don't know you. There are no scriptures in many of their languages. There are no workers working among many of them. God, would you send more workers into your harvest? Touch people's hearts, Lord God, today. Our hearts, other people's hearts, among our people, among other people, Lord God, stir in our hearts that desire to carry your message, the wonderful, beautiful message that we enjoy, to carry that to those who are in darkness today yet. And Father, I pray that you would help us also as home churches to be faithful in our sending of those who have that calling to go. Thank you, God, because you love those people. And thank you, Lord, because your word tells us that there will be some of them around the throne on the last day in heaven. So, God, we thank you for what you are doing for this group of people and all the other unreached people groups of our world today. Thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 19, I'd like to share a few thoughts this morning from this passage. And see, there's no clock in the back. I have to look at my watch here. I'll try not to keep you too late. Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. On down to verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Reading from the English Standard Version. The body of David Livingstone was buried in England, where he was born. But his heart was buried in the Africa he loved. At the foot of a tall tree in a small African village, the natives dug a hole and placed in it the heart of this man who they loved and respected. If your heart were to be buried in the place you loved most during your life, where would it be? In your pocketbook? In an appropriate space down at the office? Where is your heart? I'd like for us to think this morning on these words that Jesus spoke many years ago. He talks about treasures. And the question that we have this morning is, he doesn't say if you lay up treasures, because all of us seem to lay up treasures. It's just part of our human nature. But he says, where is your treasure? That's the question. Where is your treasure? Where are mine? What are the things that are most valuable to me? Where are yours this morning? Well, let's notice a couple of things that he says here in these verses. And the first part of this, he says, do not. Now, when the Lord says do not, what do we do with that? Well, how do we handle it? What? Just this last week in a class with our interns that we have there at the Mission Training Center, we were going through the life of Christ, studying the life of Christ. And this was one of the ideas in the lesson is we read the Bible, we read it to see what it says to me. What does God say, and what do I do with it? What do I do about it? What is God asking me to do with wherever we read in the Bible? It's not just a reading that we read the book and say, oh, that was a nice book. But there's specific instructions, God's direction for us in His book. So if God says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures, what do we do with that? We got to do something with it. Either we have to tear it out and ignore it, or disobey it, or ask Lord, okay, Lord, what do you mean? How do I not lay up those treasures? And then the other part of it, down farther, He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures. So he said both sides here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Easier said than done. Right? Treasures is anything it's a deposit, a wealth, some secreted valuable that we have, something that our hearts are attached to. You know, there's things that we have that we're not really attached to, that we can get rid of them and it doesn't matter that much. But there's other things that we're attached to, that our hearts feel for. And so that's what he's talking about here. And so he says, you know, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in this earth. It's too dangerous. It's too useless. Because things here on earth, it says, moth and rust destroys. Do you have any rust down here in South Carolina? Any rust on things that you buy and things that you have? Yeah, certainly do. Rust begins to destroy it. Thieves break in and steal. I don't think you have many thieves because I see here you leave keys in a car overnight and nothing seems to happen. So you must not have many thieves here. But now the thieves are on the internet. Just go on the computer and they can rob you over the internet too. So the thieves are out there to take away those things. There's no security in stuff on this earth. There is no security in the stuff on this earth. It's going to go away. It's going to destroy. You buy a new car and drive it out of the parking lot, take it back the next week and see if they'll give you the full price for it. They won't, because it's deteriorating. The value goes down. You buy your new iPad. Next month there'll be something new. You'll have to give it away. And you buy the new thing. The value is going down of everything on this earth. Why would we want to invest in something that's deteriorating in value? Let's invest in what is increasing in value, guaranteed by the God of all the banks, by the God of the heavenly bank. It's guaranteed to increase in value. That's why he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do we do that? He says, for there in heaven, he says, neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. And he goes on and said, here, this is why he says, I'm telling you this. He said, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where our hearts are, that's where we give the best energies. That's where we give the best creativity, where our hearts are. You may have a job, but your heart may not be in it. You may do your work to make a living, to pay the bills, whatever. But your heart may not be there. It may be. I don't know each one of you. But where your heart is where you in your free time, you think about it. In your free time, you think about how you could do more of that or enjoy more of this or whatever. And that's some indication of where our treasure is. That's where your heart will be. So specifically here, there's a lot of areas of life, and we don't have time to go into different areas of life this morning. But here he's talking about money specifically and material things. And verse 24 says, you cannot serve God and money. It is not possible. God says, you cannot. I cannot. You cannot. So we talk about material things. And in this thing of material things, I want to touch on just a couple of things here this morning with you. And one way of laying up treasures in heaven is through our tithes and offerings. The offering that you gave this morning is going into the celestial bank. It is, we give to God. Yeah, we give them the church offering, and there's people that handle it and so on. But we are giving to God. So we give our tithes and offerings to God. And the basic principle in our giving, I believe, should be that we recognize that God is the owner of all things. God is the owner of all things. The owner of the cattle on a thousand hills. And God is the owner, so that from the time I open my heart to Jesus Christ, I give my life to Jesus Christ. I give my life to God. He gives me eternal life. He washes away my sins. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school class. And what he price that he paid for our forgiveness of sins. What a blessing. What a joy. And so we are now bought with a price. We belong to God. We've given our hearts. We've given our lives to God. And along with that goes everything. Everything we have belongs to God. All the stuff that we have belongs to God. I recognize that God is the owner of all things. And we see that because when God wants to take something away from somebody and give it to somebody else, he does that. And someone who may have a lot of wealth overnight may lose that wealth through illness, through disaster, through whatever means. So God is the owner of those things. We are stewards. We are administrators of the things that God has given to us. But God is the owner of those things. So as an administrator of what God has loaned to me, I owe my master a good return on that. I owe my master a return. Most of us, if we want to invest money, we don't invest it somewhere where we're not going to get anything back from it. We invest it somewhere where there'll be a return on it. And we give to the Lord, we guarantee that there's a good return on that. If you invest with the bank or something, look for somewhere there's interest in it. And a little difficult to find that now, but we want some return on it. And so God is looking for fruit in our lives. God is looking for fruitfulness from you and I. So we are stewards. We recognize that God is the owner of all things. Psalm 50, I quoted this before, Psalm 50 verse 10. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. We look back in the Old Testament, and interestingly enough, the first recorded homicide has to do with offerings to God. The first homicide was over offerings. So that was even a death, jealousy over this thing of offerings, because one person came to God and offered something from his heart, something appropriate. Another person came to God, offered God something that was not appropriate, and his heart was not right. And God did not look favorably on it. He gave it to God, but God wasn't pleased with it. God didn't accept it. So our hearts are so important. Our hearts are more important than the dollar bills that we put in. The heart that's behind it. What we're giving to God. What are our hearts like today? Some people say, well, we don't have to give the tithes anymore. That was Old Testament stuff. Well, we look back and look at Abraham. Abraham gave tithes to the king of Salem. And not sure a lot about who he was or whatever. But Abraham gave him tithes. This was before the law of Moses came into being. Abraham gave these tithes. Very clearly an Old Testament command that the tithes and offerings were to be part of their regular giving. And it's a fair way of God to encourage us to give. Well, how much do I give? How much should I give? And the tithe is a very fair way to do that. If we had very little income, the tithe is very little. If there's more income, the tithe is more. It goes according to income. So if the Old Testament and the law was that the tithes and the offerings were to be given to God, under grace, which we are under grace of God, that doesn't mean now we don't have to give. Under grace, we should be giving more than they did under the law. We have received so much more than they did because we're under grace, the grace of God that's been extended to us. We are experiencing things that people in the Old Testament could not experience because Christ had not come. The Holy Spirit was not given to the people of the Old Testament in the way that he is now. Those of us who have accepted Christ in our lives have the Holy Spirit living in us. So under grace, we do give to God. And we notice in Matthew chapter 23, and where Jesus was talking to the scribes and Pharisees when he gave the seven woes to them, one of the woes was this one, Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. In other words, they got their priorities mixed up. And it's easy for us to do that sometimes too. But the very finest things, the mint, the little leaves and the dill, you know what dill is in cumin, you ladies who use that, they measured that out, and they were very careful to be sure to tithe the tenth of all these little things. And Jesus said that you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But notice what he says going on. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. In other words, he wasn't taking away the tithe from them. He said, you should tithe those things. That's wonderful that you tithe those things. But don't forget justice and mercy and faithfulness. These weightier matters of the law are very important, and you've been neglecting those. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. The little humor that Jesus uses with them. Strain at a gnat, but you swallow a camel, and not even aware of it. So Jesus tells us this is as the Lord prospered. Now, talk about tithes and offerings and so on. Tithes, where I've been in leadership in churches, we've never made this a membership requirement. There are churches that do that keep record of everybody's tithes and so on. I've never done that. I have not quite agreed at that point. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Needs to come from people's hearts. But I do encourage people to give tithes and offerings to God. I think it's a good way of measuring a minimum that we give to God with our tithes. And as Jesus was talking to the rich young man, remember what Jesus said to the rich young man? Talking about these material things. And he said some pretty harsh words to this rich young man in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have, what? Treasure in heaven. And you will have treasure in heaven. Whoa. If you would be perfect. In other words, it seems like Jesus is saying there's different levels of life. There's different levels of dedication to God. He said, if you would be perfect, if you want to go another step with God, sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Following Jesus was the crunch of the matter. But this man was busy with all of his things that he had, and apparently didn't have time to follow Jesus. So Jesus said, if you want to follow me, sell everything you've got and come and follow me. Now, I don't know if Jesus knew about the Mennonites then or not. You suppose he did? Most of our dads did not encourage us to do that. It's just somehow that's just difficult for us to fit that into our theology. What do we do with it? Well, that was for that man. That was just, you know, we kind of brush it off, and that was for yesterday, and it's gone, and so we just kind of forget about it. And surely Jesus wouldn't tell me to do that. Well, I don't know if he would or not. If read a couple of verses in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, one of our verses that we love. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We love it. God says God is pleased to enter, to wish you welcome into the kingdom of God. Very special privilege we have. Next verse, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Those are tough words. What do we do with them? What do we do with them? Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Sell your possessions and give to the needy, he says. And by doing that, you'll provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. That's what Jesus said to that. So what do we do that? How do we handle that? It's a question I'm going to leave with you for meditation this afternoon. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says like this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Our bodies belong to Him. Our lives, this morning we talked about Jesus and going to the cross and the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross. Our class, I mentioned martyrs and those that are burned at the stake and people like that that suffer tremendously. How can God allow that? It seems so difficult, so terrible. Well, again, Jesus going to the cross, he went to the cross because God knew that on the other side of the cross was salvation. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day, there's hope, there's life, there's eternal life. Jesus died, but God did not destroy Jesus. God knew what was ahead. That's the difficult part for us when it comes to material things. We say, yeah, sell everything we have. But then we think, what? What am I going to do tomorrow? Because we can't see ahead. We don't know what plan God has ahead for us. And so we say, no, this can't be because I have to eat tomorrow. So if I sell everything, I'm not going to eat tomorrow. So no, this must not be right. And so our trust in God is put in the balance. And I don't have all the answers to this. I'm just reading the Bible. This is what the Bible says. And I'll let you take it and mull it over and talk to the Lord about it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I direct the church of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper so that there will be no collecting when I come. When I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem." So again, he's encouraging them, as you prosper, put aside something every week as you prosper. That sounds like a tithe. So God is encouraging us to give, not because God needs money. God's the owner of everything. But it reminds us of who the owner is. And we are able to bless the work of God as we share with our tithes and offerings. In Colossians, he says, "If you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are," where? "Above." Seek those things which are above. That's, in other words, set your heart on things that are above. And that's a challenge for us. It is for me. I don't know about you. Because we go to Walmart, and what do we see in Walmart? You go to the store, or you look in the newspaper, you look on the internet, and you see all these things that are so great. You ever go to Walmart and buy something you hadn't planned to buy? Because look at this. This is great. I never saw this before. This would really be handy. And you buy something you never thought of buying. Because those things are so attractive. Our eyes are attracted to these material things. But God says, don't set your heart on those things. Get your heart in heaven, on heavenly things, and then earthly things will take a secondary view. God will give us the control to say, yeah, even that's really cool. I'd like to take it, but don't really need it. Let it. And not take it home with us. So we don't have to have many garage sales. Get rid of stuff we don't need anymore. The stuff that we have distracts us from serving God. Many times. So much stuff that saves, all the stuff that saves so much time. One brother said, a younger brother was talking about his computer and all this, the advantage of having this computer and all this time that it would save and so on. An older brother that was in the group said, one question for you. He said, what do you do with all your extra time? Well, computers can be a blessing, but they can take up time too sometimes. So all of our time-saving things that we have, but how much extra time do we have? We're saving all this time with all these gadgets, but where's our time? So something's not working out here. Something's not adding up in this whole thing. The material things, we get loaded down with material things because we have money to buy them. I admire these people that live in China, in Central America, and these places, a little house with almost nothing in it. And I wonder, how can they live? But they do. They seem to get along quite well. But I have to have a shed out back to store stuff in that I don't use all the time because I have so much stuff. Anyway, I don't have all the answers. But this is what God says. I'd like to suggest a couple of steps that may be helpful in looking at these material things. Steps to financial peace. Peace with God. Number one, don't compare yourself with your neighbors. Because when we compare ourselves with our neighbors, well, our neighbors have this, and so, yeah, well, we should have this too. And everybody else in church seems to have it, so, yeah, this must be okay. We should have one too, because they'll come to my house, and what will they think? When they come to my house and you know what goes on. Don't compare yourself with your neighbors. If you're thinking about material things and what God would have you to own, don't compare yourself with others. Those that are totally committed to the will of God are not going to be like their neighbors. People that are totally committed to the will of God are just not going to be like their neighbors. They're going to be in a different category. Jesus just didn't fit into the category of the people there. They couldn't quite accept him. He didn't fit in. He was different. God wants us to be different. And not only in the way that we dress, the things that we put on the outside, but our way of living and our way of things must be different if we are going to follow God. So, don't compare yourself to your neighbors. Number two, prepare your heart to give away or sell anything and everything you have. Prepare your heart to give away or sell anything, everything you have. Jesus told the rich young ruler, if you're going to follow me, if you want to do it right, sell everything you have. Now, I don't know that Jesus asked everybody to do that, but some he did. What if that's me? Oh no, let's just not go down that road. What if it's me? What if it's you? So, if we're not willing to be 100% obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we ought to work on that a little more. Because our tendency is, I'll follow you, Lord, kind of like the rest of the people follow you. I don't want to go much deeper than that because it's a little scary. Is that how we're following the Lord? Or are we totally committed to the will of God in our lives? Is that what we want? 100%. Whatever the cost may be. Are we willing to make that commitment? Isn't that what God calls us to? 100%. And I can tell you, I haven't gotten there yet. That's a goal I have. And I want to be 100% committed to God. But the more I move in that direction, the more blessing there is. The more wonderful walk with Jesus there is as we depend upon Him. And one of the ways to depend on Him is to be a D&I missionary. Right, Les? And I promote this, and I was part of it, and part of Global Tribes Outreach as well, and we work the same way, and we do not ask people for offerings. We trust the Lord. We pray. We say, God, we're dependent upon you for paying the rent this month. We're dependent upon you for the things that come in. And we pray. We say, Lord, give us today our daily bread. We really mean it. You know, because we're not, as other people say, we're not working. We don't have a secular job as such. We're full-time in ministry. I'm not here asking for money. Please understand that. But it's a blessing to trust in God. Let God provide at His level. God's the one that decides the level when we do it that way. We don't set our wages. God's the one that sets the wages. That's our challenge. So anyway, that's step number two. Prepare your heart to give away or sell anything and everything you have. And step number three, pray about it. In prayer, give each possession to God. And that's my giving an assignment for this afternoon. This afternoon and this week and on through life. Walk around your house, look at the things that are there, and give them to God. This radio, God, this is yours, God. This sofa here, Lord, this is yours. This computer here, Lord, this is yours. This car out here, this is yours. Just give everything, verbally give it to God. And say, God, this is yours. I'll do with it whatever you tell me. If you want me to give it away, I'll give it away. If you want me to sell it, I'll sell it. If you want me to keep it, I'll keep it. See what God says. That's after your afternoon lunch and after you take your afternoon nap. Then walk around and make a little tour of your place just with Jesus. See what the Lord says. Pray about it. Do what God tells you. And in your life, in our lives, prioritize the Word and prayer. The Word and prayer must be a priority if we are going to be 100% dedicated to the will of God in our lives. The Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. Don't, please, don't neglect it. There are three examples in Matthew, and with this I'd like to close this morning. Three examples in Matthew 26, and we won't look at them in detail, but you can meditate on them later on. Matthew chapter 26, three beautiful, beautiful examples here of what of people's attitude towards themselves and their possessions. Matthew 26 and verse 6 is the story of a woman who broke the alabaster box of ointment over Jesus' feet. And the disciples criticized her and said, "This is a waste of money." And Jesus said, "No, these were my feet. This was a good way to invest this perfume." She gave very generous material giving. Go down to verse 14, same chapter. Judas. What an attitude towards material things. Selfishness. I want this money. Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter what. I want this money. I'm going to get it. And he got it. And what else did he get with it? Condemnation. To the point where he went out and he hung himself, committed suicide because he could not live with himself. But he got his money. Selfish. Material. Hoarding. Then on down, verse 26, we have Jesus. The ultimate sacrifice. Giving of himself totally for others. Sacrifice of himself. And he didn't give his things away because I don't think he had any things. He didn't have any things to give away. He could go walk the paths of Palestine and didn't have to worry about feeding the cattle back home because he didn't have any, even though he was the owner of everything. We look at it and we say, well, he wasn't married either. He didn't have a family, didn't have a wife, didn't have children. That's right. God knows all those things. Luke 21, Jesus commended the poor widow because she put in the offering what? What did she put in the offering? All that she had. What did she eat the next day? I don't know. I'll bet God gave her something to eat. I'll bet God provided for her because she gave all that she had to the Lord because she loved the Lord. Who knows what God had done in her life? She was so grateful to what God had done for her. She fished in her pocket and, oh, this is all I have. And I'm sure with her head bowed, she probably put it in because there are a lot of very wealthy people around. But Jesus commended that. Jesus saw that. And he commended it. Just got through reading a book, recommend if you haven't read it yet, by C.T. Studd, man who lived some years ago back over in England. And as a young man from a very wealthy family, he became a very famous cricket player in England and became a professional and started making a lot of money as a cricket player. And he knew that with the money that he had made himself and with the inheritance that he would receive when his father died, he'd have enough to live the rest of his life, wouldn't have to work, wouldn't have to do anything. But God got a hold of him and called him to be a missionary. And he was a missionary in different places, went to China. He was in India, also went to Africa. And when he heard that his father passed away and he was informed of the millions that he had inherited, he said, I'm going to give it away. So he gave it all away, continued on being a missionary, gave everything away. You think, why? Well, he would have had enough. He wouldn't have had to depend on anybody else. He could have had enough to live on and provide for other missionaries as well. He gave it to other missions is what he did with it. But for himself, he was free. He said, now we trust God. God will help us. God will provide for us. What a blessing. What a joy. The walk with God is challenging. The walk with God is interesting. The walk with God is exciting. But let's take what God says in His Word. Let's take it seriously. And just a reminder of your assignment this afternoon. Walk around with your things and say, God, this is yours. What shall I do with it? And just follow God. Just follow God. You will never be sorry. I guarantee you, you will never be sorry. 100% committed to the will of God. And we all make mistakes, and praise God for His forgiveness, because we make mistakes along the way. I've made mine, and you'll make yours. But we learn, and we want to draw closer to God. Let's stand together, please. I'd like to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that You have done for us. God, we're grateful for the love that You have extended to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Father, Christ died for us. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You so much, God. We realize there's no other way our sins could be taken care of outside of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Many and great that the sins were, when they are confessed to You, O God, they are forgiven. When our faith is put in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father. We realize, O God, then, that we have been bought with a price. We belong to You. That's where we want to be, God. Servants of the living God. Dedicated 100% to do the will of God in our lives. Even as You, Lord Jesus, were. You went to the cross, Lord Jesus, because You knew that that was part of the plan, the eternal plan for salvation. You knew that was part of it. But the suffering that was there, You would have longed to have gotten part B, some plan B, some other way. But there wasn't. That was the way. And You were willing to do that. But You knew, Lord Jesus, that on the third day You would be raised from the dead to never die again. And because of Your faithfulness, many, many souls would be forgiven, would be born again, spend eternity in heaven because of Your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful for that. Lord God, this morning we've talked about material things. And Lord, here in America, we have a plague of material things. What do we do with it, God? I pray for my brothers and sisters today and myself, Lord. I pray that we could each honestly look at everything we have, including the checkbook, give it to you, recognizing that you're the owner, God, because you are, and then listen to your voice. What would you have us to do? What would you have us to do with these things? God, we want to learn to trust you. We want to learn, O God, to walk more faithfully with you. We want to learn, O God, what it means to depend on you each day. Teach us, Lord, I pray. Give us courage, Lord, and give us faith. Faith to trust in you. Not to do foolish things, because you don't lead anyone to do foolish things. But your word, God, tells us, go and sell what you have. I pray that you would show me and show each of us what that means in our personal life. You said, Lord Jesus, do not lay up treasures on earth. And you also said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Help us, God, to increase that heavenly bank account as we walk with you and serve you. Bless this congregation, Lord Jesus. I know there's a lot of accounts in that heavenly bank in this congregation, God, and I praise you and bless you for that, Lord. I pray that you would continue to give each one a deeper longing and desire to continue to invest in eternity. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I just pray, O God, today too, that you would just forgive us, Lord, when we've hoarded. God, when we've said, well, we have to keep this for tomorrow because if not, we won't eat tomorrow. Forgive us, God, when we've lacked faith in you. Take us by the hand, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, God. Help us to remember, Lord Jesus, the thousands of unreached peoples around our world who have no gospel, who have never heard of Jesus, where there is no church in their language. God, help us not to forget those people. Maybe you're calling someone from this congregation to go to another part of the world, maybe to the Miao of China, to take to them the precious Word of God. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.